Last week, for the first Sunday of Advent, we talked about judgment. In fact, I gave you three words at the beginning of Advent that will kind of be the focus for us for each of these sermons for these first 3 weeks of Advent. So those words as a reminder, those three points. The first one was judgment. The second one today will be vigilance, and we'll see the word joy next week. So we said last week that vigilance means to keep watch or to look out. And so I think this theme really shines forth today in the gospel for the second Sunday of Advent with regard to St. John the Baptist, and we'll see that in the sermon. The season of Advent, it really calls us to vigilance, a vigilance to prepare for the coming of our Lord, like we said before, the coming of our Lord at the end of the world, at the end of our life, and this year on Christmas. We're preparing for that, and it requires of us to be vigilant in that preparation. So I imagine, when I think about vigilance, I imagine the symbolism of a watch guard, or the symbolism of like a sentinel or a sentry, those military terms we think about. That's how I envision it in my mind. We know that vigilance is not a passive waiting. And that same thing with a watch guard, it's not a passive thing. You're just sitting there watching and you're completely unprepared. No, it has to be both things. You have to be waiting and prepared, or in the process of preparing. You have to be doing those two things. And this is the exact character. This describes perfectly St. John the Baptist. What is he doing his entire life? What is it devoted to? Preparing the way of the Lord. That is his job. That is his role. And he's the perfect example for us. Today in the gospel, we see St. John the Baptist. He is in prison. Why is he in prison? If you remember, he was publicly preaching during this time. He was gaining a lot of popularity. But then the one thing that got him with regard to the king was the king is Herod, he publicly declared that the adulterous marriage between Herod and Herodias was an adulterous marriage. So that the king got wind of that, and John was put in prison for standing up for the truth. In this last period of St. John's life, this last instance, you could say, in today's gospel, it's basically the last time we hear about John until his death, where he's eventually beheaded at the whim of this adulterous Herodias. So during this time, John, he's in prison, and he's in what you could call the last period of preparation, like the last period of time of his work, the last like grand finale of what he is called to do. But we see in this that it's not really this finale with any kind of pomp. He's beheaded at the whim of an adulteress. He's just completely gone, just like that. When his whole life has been this time of preparation for the Messiah. And I think that's a really good starting point to understanding vigilance, is this humility that we see in St. John the Baptist. His entire life, once again, is one of preparation. He spent all those years in this asceticism of being in the desert, praying, continual prayer, thriving or just eating. The only sustenance that he has is locusts and honey and any other food that he can find that's not prepared. That's part of the asceticism of these early people that St. John the Baptist, this spirituality of the Jews that are awaiting the coming of the Messiah. St. John is like the pivotal. He is the highest one of those people, the closest to God, you could say. That's his role. So he's gaining this popularity. He's becoming so popular that his name is like common terminology all throughout Judea. Everybody knows St. John the Baptist. And the king, Herod, even knows St. John the Baptist. That's how popular St. John the Baptist is. How does he respond to this? What does he say? What is his attitude towards this growing popularity? Well, he says that he will be blotted out. He will basically just fade into obscurity, that someone greater will come after him. So we see right there, right off the bat, that humility. And that's a good point for us to examine ourselves. Do we seek the praise of others? Do we seek to be recognized for the little good that we do? The tiniest little thing, we seek praise. We want to be noticed for it. The vigilant soul doesn't seek that praise, doesn't seek to be noticed. It knows what the right thing, the vigilant soul knows the right thing to do, and it does it. And that's the second point I think of when I think about vigilance, is confidence. Sometimes in our mind we think these two things are opposed. Humility, confidence. In our fallen human nature, these things many times seem to be opposed. How can you be humble but also be confident without being too overly confident but also not being too humble to where you're not confident? In our mind, that's how it works. We have to realize our confidence is not placed in ourselves, it's placed in God. And when that is properly ordered, both things, humility and confidence, can exist together perfectly. Because think of how confident St. John the Baptist was when he received the message that he sent to his disciples to go see if this is Christ. He sent them to go see, is this Christ? They come back with this message. And John says, that's all I need to know. That's it. That's all I need to know. I trust this is the Messiah. My work is done. I can now fade into obscurity. He must increase. I must decrease. He's that confident. Any other man, we could personalize this and think about ourselves in St. John the Baptist's shoes here, we would think to ourselves, are you sure? Are you really sure? Because strictly speaking, it is possible that they could have been deceived. It's possible that they could have just had a false impression that day. It's possible. But for John, St. John the Baptist, he was confident in God. He knew his role. He knew himself. He knew what God was asking of him, and he did that his entire life. And he knew that God is not going to lead him astray, because John, St. John, is using the means that God has given to him, and he knows in his conscience he's using them to the best of his ability. And so he's confident in God. He's vigilant. And once again, he's so confident in what his disciples come to him and say, this is the person who we think is the Christ, and this is what he said. St. John says, that's it. That's all I need. It really shows that character. And we should ask ourselves, are we that confident with God with regard to our prayer? Or do we hold back, thinking falsely that somehow an infinite and loving God doesn't know the answer to our problems? We're tempted to that all the time. Does God really care? That's the common temptation of fallen man. And that brings up another good point, is that we ask ourselves often, how do I know what God's will is? How can I be that confident? Like the St. John, have the same confidence that St. John the Baptist had. How can I have that? How can I have that assurity that I know I am doing God's will, this is the right thing to choose right now? How do we know that? We'll make a long explanation short. Many times, the answer to that question, we really don't like it. Our human nature does not like the answer to that question. And we'll see that in a second. But what are the means that God gives to us to know his will? What are the two means, basically? that God gives to us so that we can know and understand what he's trying to tell us. Is this the right thing to do? Is this the right path to choose in my life? Is this the right thing? What does God tell us? He tells us to pray, first and foremost, and then ask for help. Well, who do we ask? We can ask a good Catholic friend. Now, I'd say the highest thing is ask a priest, because the priest is God's direct avenue of grace to people. God will not lead us astray. If we're using both of those things together properly, as God has given them to us, prayer and asking for help. Just like St. John, and how St. John is confident in that answer, that's the same answer for us. And it takes a lot of us, because we're tempted to think, well, maybe so-and-so had a bad day, and maybe this isn't it. Maybe my prayer wasn't that good, so maybe I'm going to get a different answer. Maybe this is this, and that equals this. That's the common temptation. What do we see in the vigilant soul? We see in the vigilant soul confidence. Confidence in God. Confidence in the means that he has given to us to help us. And so that initial response when we think to ourselves, okay, how do I figure this situation out? And we're told, okay, pray on it. We're told to just pray on it, and then you can ask for help. Those two things, that's what you have at your disposal. And we think to ourselves, is that really it? That's all I can do. That's the only thing that can help me right now. And the answer to that is yes. That is the help that God has given to us. And this is where our Lord's words here are so perfect. They're so perfect. He says this, and this is relayed to John from his two disciples. Our Lord says this by means of the two disciples to John. Our Lord says, "Blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." What does that mean? What does it mean to be scandalized in Christ? Well, obviously this is scandal taken, not given. Christ can't give scandal, he's God. It's scandal taken on our part. Because we look at those two things, prayer and asking for help, and say, that's just not enough. I need more. That's taking scandal. In our mind, it's not sufficient. It's not a sufficient answer. When it is, in fact, it is. To not be scandalized in Christ can take on a broader meaning as well. It's to accept the things that God has put in our life, even when they challenge our worldly instincts. They challenge what we think should be the thing for us. Our fallen human nature, our attachment to self, our blatant ignorance about truth gets in the way. Why were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the common example given to us of the ones who were scandalized about Christ when he eventually came and lived his public life. They were the ones who were scandalized, because their hearts were closed to the truth. They didn't want to hear it because they already thought they knew the solution to their problem. And that's against the first point, humility. That's against the second point, confidence. Not in themselves, but in God. Christ was too contrary to their preconceived solution to their problems. And that is what it means to not be scandalized in Christ. Blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. We can take this and we can apply this to the general age categories, this concept. How are the young usually scandalized by these two things? Your solution is prayer, ask for help. That's your solution. How are the young usually scandalized by this? Falsely scandalized by this. They'll say, well, I don't feel like prayer is really doing anything, and I don't feel like whatever advice can be given to me is going to really help me. That's old advice. I need something new. That's the temptation for young people. What's the temptation for middle-aged people? Well, I don't have enough time to pray, and the priest probably doesn't have enough time to help me. That is the common temptation for middle-aged people. What's the common temptation for older age people? Basically, it's too late to start praying. It's too late to start asking for help because I don't have enough time to implement these things. And these mindsets, these general mindsets, these temptations that apply to all of us, that can happen to all of us, they're contrary to vigilance. The exact example that we see in St. John the Baptist. To be vigilant, once again, in conclusion, vigilance means to prepare, not a passive preparation. It means an active preparation, using the means that God has given to us for our disposal, recognizing them, not taking scandal in them, not taking scandal in Christ, using them for the betterment of our soul so that we can attain virtue and attain heaven. That is the meaning of today. That is what St. John the Baptist, I would think, is trying to get across to us today on the second Sunday of Advent. St. John the Baptist died, lived his life, and died a watchman. He died vigilant to the end. Let that be the same, let that be said the same about us. Blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.